A More Beautiful Life is a listener-supported show. You can learn more about the benefits you receive from your support, such as access to other courses, special access to tools, blogs, and skills through our Patreon channel, patreon.com/amorebeautifullife. Hello, you are listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast, recognizing, appreciating, and integrating earliest life experiences. My name is Kate White, and I created this podcast because of my passion for my work as a therapist and an educator in preventing and resolving earliest trauma. I believe that integrating our earliest experiences brings us closer to who we really are. On the show, I will be having discussions with others on the path who have explored healing our earliest experiences in life, or who, in my opinion, have found ways to live a more beautiful life. Today on the show, we welcome Monica McGee and Kendall Self. Monica and Kendall are my yoga instructors, and they opened up the Elements Hot Yoga and HIIT studio in 2016 in Charlottesville, Virginia. Together, they have over 7,000 hours of all-level yoga instruction and lead 200 and 300 level Yoga Alliance certified teacher trainings. They formed a combined family with two beautiful girls in 2012. And their life passion and purpose is to connect people and inspire others to live wholehearted living. And we very much enjoy being with Kendall and Monica in their studio, all of us who study with them. And I think they're some of the most unique people, most beautiful people that I've been with in a long time on a daily and weekly basis. So please welcome and enjoy their story and the things that they share about their approach to yoga and to life. So welcome, Kendall and Monica. I am so glad you're here.
Thank you, Kay. We're excited to be here.
Super excited to be here. It's an honor.
Well, thank you. Really, the honor is mine. I just want people out there listening to know that I have invited Monica and Kendall to come. They own the Elements Hot Yoga here in Charlottesville. It's where I do yoga, and these are two very special instructors. And I know for people out there listening, I mean, I specialize in healing earliest trauma, but I also have this podcast for people who I think live a more beautiful life. And I know that Monica and Kendall, you probably won't think about your life totally that way, given what I know about you, but it comes through. And I mean, it's been very consistent. I've been with you kind of from the start, like 3 years ago, more.
Four years we opened the Elements.
And I remember calling you and saying, I really want to do this. And I had just broken my ankle and I knew I had to change my life. And I started with doing yoga. And I've just done it with you. And I have to say, you're a big part of my life. And when I don't get to be with you, I feel it. And I want listeners out there to know that this is a place in Charlottesville where you can go and feel a beautiful life. And I want to invite the two of you just to begin to tell your story, like how you ended up here and what is the Elements?
So I think the story starts at a water fountain where boy meets girl. Monica led group fitness classes at the gym that I used to go to work out. And it was a funny story because I didn't do group classes. You know, I'm the guy. I just go down there and lift heavy weights and isolate to myself. And one day this lady came up to me and she's like, oh, we need to certify an instructor and we have to report a class. And it has to have at least 5 people in it, and somebody backed out. She's like, you look really strong, so can you come in class and take class? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went in and took this class, and it was a Les Mills class called Body Pump. And Monica was not in this class, but I took the class, and it totally kicked my butt. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. And so I went back to the next class. Monica was the instructor. we met at the water fountain. And she asked me, she's like, what's your name? And I remember stuttering. I was like, Kendall. And she thought I should have been an errand there. But anyway, that's where our journey kind of started, was at that water fountain. Mm-hmm. And then over about the next year, we were just kind of friends, and I'd always come in and take her classes. And then we went hiking together. And so the story starts, boy meets girl at water fountain. And then the journey begins to hike this really tall mountain.
Besides being certified in Les Mills, I had started yoga journey. Yoga touched my life back when I was in high school, so 20 something years back. And I was considering doing another type of training that's in the hot yoga category. And my now teachers, they opened a studio in Richmond. And I heard from the grapevine they were opening a studio, and I wanted to be a yoga teacher. And so I went in and visited, and so I met one of the Yax brothers there, and it was so inviting. It was so different from what I used to that I decided to, right on the spot, I said, this is a thing, the teacher training for me. And so I started that journey into teacher training. And like Kendall, I was in the fitness for the physique, for the health benefits of moving, not knowing where this yoga journey was going to take me. And more specifically, the path that I was set to embark, and it was going to support me throughout the way. Fast forward, we meet at the fountain. I was certified. And then finally one day when we went out for the first time, I asked him, because I knew he was remodeling houses.
I specifically called her one day, like 9 months down the road or a year down the road, and she was in Mexico. And I'm like, I'm going to do something different than I always do. And I had been through a divorce, and I was not dating people at this point in time. And I remember calling. I was like, hey, I'm throwing a pool party at my apartment complex, and I have a whole bunch of my friends come over, and I would like you to come over. And so this is where the rest of the story starts.
Yeah, so I went to that party, and so I'm just talking. I'm like, oh, well, you remodel houses. Can you help me build a yoga studio, because that's where I'm going next?
I did not answer.
And at that point too, I was going through a divorce, and the practice of yoga, besides the moving part, is the juice of what we do.
Say more about that.
Yeah. So the asana, or the moving part of yoga, is just one of the eight limbs, or the eight parts that complete the yoga practice. When we start practicing, and mostly in this part of the world, we are introduced to yoga through sun salutations and moving. Mm-hmm. There are other parts of yoga. There's more like a code of ethics, if you want to put it that way, that help us navigate through not life skillfully. They are the code that create the relationship we have with the world. We also have the code of the relationship we have with ourselves. Then there's the asana, the yoga movement. Then it is sitting to practice breathing, to practice withdrawing from stimulus. Then there's the practice of concentration, and ultimately moving in through meditation and then into freedom.
And the interesting part about the asana, what everybody calls the, you know, the vinyasa classes and all these movement classes,
right?
It's, you know, one of the eight limbs. But however, what the asana really used to be was just taking a seat and seated meditation to start to focus on your life breath, to start turning inwards, letting go of all the distractions and the senses. Mm-hmm. So you can get a better understanding of self.
Mm-hmm. And so as I'm learning that through teacher training, and then putting it into practice and real application and in real life situations, it changes our perspective. And I I started realizing how I am being giving all these situations in my life so that I can learn. So there's a symbolical side to everything that we experience. And so at this point, at the beginning, I'm going through a divorce. I'm going through separating, like, you know, a life that I had constructed that looked very, the path that most people go, you know, university, being an accountant, being in the corporate world, and all this things that I had constructed. And now I realized that there was something, a bigger calling happening. And then I just happened to meet this amazing guy. And like you noticed, Kate, immediately his kindness shone through his eyes. And I was drawn to that. I was like, who is this person?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember the day at the pool at the end of the night, which I haven't done in a long time. But I walked up to her and I was like, hey, I was like, I want to formally ask you on a date. And know that I'm going to try to kiss you at the end of the night.
Wow. So straightforward, authentic, and honest.
Well, I'd found in not dating and developing these friends, and there was always this ambiguous, are we dating, are we not, what's going on? I was like, I want my intentions known that, you know, I like you and I want to date you. And so we went on that first date. And I don't think we've stopped dating since. We literally have been together, except for our new transition life, but literally been together almost every day since.
Right.
And I want to talk about those transitions, because those transitions are exactly what brings so much juice and depth in what we bring back into the room when we're teaching everyone. My experiences have gone so deep within my skin, within my cells, that these are the opportunities that allow me to vocalize and to express so much feeling and intention to transform into a positive, beautiful life.
Wow.
If you look at coal, it's like dark, no light shines through. But when you put coal under extreme pressure, extreme stress, it turns into a diamond. And then at that moment, that diamond lets all the light shine through. The situations are live, which fortunately for us, Monica and I have had a lot of those situations.
Yes.
It's allowed us to, you know, under pressure, evolve ourselves and then really walk the walk of, you know, what we teach every day. You know, it's easy in a yoga room that has wonderful lights that change color, sound system that's just right, a floor that has cushion to it, and all, you take away all the distractions in the world. And it's easy to practice, you know, the eight limb path in there. It's easy to look inwards. But and that's why I always compare it to the situations in our life, to the challenging situations or postures on our mat, because it's how we're being in those. Can we take what we learn on our mats and the experience of ourself on our mats and the challenging times and the parts that we don't like? And can we apply that to the situations when we have challenges in our own lives?
I want to talk a little bit of the challenge, because I think this is going to give perspective also to everyone that's listening of like what happened to us and what's shaping us.
Great.
And why are we still here? As we started to move towards opening the yoga studio, we worked learning the business. And when we opened the studio here in Charlottesville, not only did we get into a situation with the owner of the building that was not clear, the contract was horrible, the build out turned out to be a disaster, and we were being extorted to produce more money for this landlord. What was very difficult at that moment is to see how much money investment we had put into this building, how much we had invested of our entire life savings. Our families had given us money, and then coming to the realization that the relationship with this landlord cannot continue.
Yeah, it was to the point where all the money that was operating cash flow, we construction was stopped until she got more money out of us. And so when we opened our first day, we had $10 left in our checking account.
Wow. And so
there was no money for payroll. There was no money for anything. And ever since that first day of opening, we have literally fought and been present through everything and trusting the universe that it's going to get us where we need to be. Like, right. I don't know how this is going to happen, but we have to keep moving forward.
Well, in my field of practice, we would call that trusting the blueprint, that there is a blueprint for health and healing that's always present, always there. One of my teachers, Ray Castellino, says the hardest thing is to step inside the blueprint and lean back and let it hold you. And that sounds like what you did.
That's what we call stepping into the unknown. Uh-huh. Letting it hold you.
Yeah, I knew there was an intersection between what I do and what you do, but I just could feel, I feel it when I'm with you. I know the feeling of it. And it's, you're different than any of the other instructors there too. So could you tell people who don't know about the elements just what you do? Because is it like other yoga, or is it just different? Or say more about what you teach.
So what we learn is a way to bring so many of the traditions of yoga, because there are so many lineages of yoga, mm-hmm. and to take what is therapeutic from those practices and then combine them into one system that is holistic, that will touch every line of the body, every cell of the body, and not just in the physical way, but that it will touch at the spiritual level. The some of the traditions have not accounted for what science now, information that now science gives us. And so looking back at what some postures that could be injurious, or the alignment of the body is perhaps not the best for this type of body in the Western world, and then adapting that practice physically to the body here, and then not moreover to not just give you the guidance, but to teach you to honor your body, to discover the postures that work for you personally are different from mine. I can just give you what they feel like in my body. So in giving you that information, the practice becomes not just about the posture itself, but it becomes about the entire sequencing of the body, mm-hmm. for clear body language, from peeling the onion from all of the stuff that we hold on within our bodies, and being able to pull that energy and let it move through our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, on a physical level, we have a really awesome system that we teach by that's simple to complex, has a therapeutic vision. We reverse engineer classes, so we prep the body, we can get into certain postures so you can reach your safest, deepest expression. But on a metaphysical level, I think it's, you can go to yoga studios and yeah, you teach a posture and this is how you're supposed to be in it. And sometimes the form gets so rigid that the truth gets lost in it. And so we don't necessarily, we teach form and we teach how to keep you safe in the posture, but we also, what we want to instill is to teach you to be your own guru. It's like, you know, all we are is road signs. We're road signs, and we share the experiences of our own lives, which is the synchronicities maybe that you feel sometimes in class, Kate, mm-hmm. Because it's based off our own experiences of what we've been through, and we drop those in class, and we know that the path that we've been on works, but that's our path, and we try to teach everybody to look inwards to find their path, because everybody's path looks completely different. We're going the same direction, but everybody's path looks different. For instance, I used to always want to be my teachers, John and Chris. So I would always try to do what they do. And what I found out in building my own studio with Monica, our studio, is that it's not going to look like theirs. All I can use is the information they gave me, it's road signs, to dig inwards to find our own path. And all we can do for other people is share what we've done and then hope they look inwards to find their own path.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that feels really good to hear. So I just want to reflect, because I just sort of feel like that's the message, like you have created conditions for people to feel themselves, to find their own truth. Yoga is the way for you, but you provide a space for people to encounter themselves and in a different way, in a way that they find more authenticity in themselves. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you just hit that in the right in the nail, because if we can come into our own, we will shine authentically to others, and so the postures become less rigid when we're curious about them, when we experiment in them, just the way we're in our lives. We are curious about our life, we're curious about where we currently are now, and our life becomes authentic too. And right. So in transforming the practice off of the mat and then putting it into practice out into the world, and then creating a different perspective. And that's the whole thing about change, is that if we are willing to change our perspective about how rigid we are about change, things will start looking differently, and the door opens and opportunities happen. And the way that we experienced challenge with moving our studio to the second location, right? So now we are moving away from that other landlord. We, by magic, we learned through the grapevine that this studio where we are now, that it was being let go by the big gym in the city. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to jump into a build that was already completed, and it just landed in our laps.
You forgot one part of that. Mm-hmm. The part that you didn't want to do this.
Oh, we don't want change. Nobody wants change. But yeah. You know how change does happen.
Is being open.
Is being open and willing.
Because I remember when I get these, I don't know if you call them downloads, or I get these ideas dropped in where very impossible things become possible. And I was in Richmond dropping our littlest one off at school, because our kids, you know, they still went to school in Richmond, and we would commute them every day. And I was on the phone with Monica, and I was like, hey, I have an idea. If we can do this, this, and this, then I think that we can get into the space at Stonefield. And she was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And not because how much money we invested, how much money we put out and effort in that first studio. It's like, who's going to give us a second chance?
Right. So we went through all the uncomfortable parts of that. And, you know, it's almost like burning through it. And it was so uncomfortable. And I remember shutting the studio down, and we were out for a month, and we still hadn't signed the lease here. I'm like, is this going to happen? And then, like, everything fell into place. We jumped in midair, and we found our wings, and we ended up over here. And it took a lot of, like you said, trusting the blueprint at that point. And the interesting thing was, this space, before it was even built, it was a concrete slab, and rock salt was next door, and Monica and I came to town where we were looking to originally put the studio, and we called Stonefield, like, hey, we want to open a hot yoga studio, and the space next to rock salt would be perfect. And they're like, oh, there's already a hot yoga and a cycling studio moving in. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Ah, well, you saw the blueprint there. Yeah,
and the interesting thing was, we'd set the intention to have the space, and then we lost it. And then to find out 2 years later, it was given to us without having to build it out.
Not only did we get the space, but we had already met with a contractor that actually ended up building the space. We had met with them before. We gave them the aesthetics. We gave them the materials. So basically, we got the studio by the contractor we originally planned on, with the materials, with the design that we wanted, in a roundabout way.
Wow, could I slow down just for a minute? I just want to feel that, because, I mean, what I'm hearing is that you had plugged into this something that was supposed to happen, even though it didn't happen right when you saw it. It happened 2 years later. But there is a way that you all held something. There was something that you held. it reminds me of that saying that you've said a couple times, Kendall. It's like, when you're at peace, everything falls into place. There's some kind of saying that you guys talk about a lot in the yoga studio.
The ego says that ego. If everything in this outer world falls into place, then we'll know peace. But the truth is, and what the soul knows, is if we find peace first, then all the things in the outer world will fall into place. And I think it comes back to a place of letting go and getting out of your own way. Because there were many times on that 2-year journey where we were stopping the flow of getting here. Because we were holding on too tight to the other place that we built and trying, and just, but that was a constant fight. Like we had 3 legal battles with our landlord, and I mean, we finally won them and was able to get out the lease and everything, but it was a constant fighter there, and we were thinking this is a place we were supposed to be. And then finally we let go of that idea, and which took tremendous effort. They call it the law of least effort, which I think is the law of most effort, to get out of your own way. And that's, you know, that's how we ended up here. Is like, okay, we're going to let go. We're going to find that peace inside, and we're going to let the blueprint happen.
All right. That sounds fantastic. I just want to feel that too. Everything you say is so good to soak up. And also, I've lost your image. I just want you to know that whatever has happened to the image on your side, I've lost vision of the two of you. So I don't, yeah. All right.
We're back on.
Okay.
And further on top of that, Kate, and I give, this is going to give more perspective
here. Please.
At the same
please.
Time,
yeah.
At the same time that we're moving here, we're going through custody of our girls.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so the pressure of all that, I remember after I won custody of my daughter, that I had a conversation with my ex-husband, and he was very angry because he didn't think I deserved to have her. But the point is, he tells me how he thought that I was on so many medications when I was on the stand. And I felt so great that he said those words, because it was all derived from my practice and my meditation. And I thanked them. I said, thank you for noticing my work. He could not believe that it was by the action of meditation and breathing that I got to be so calm through all of that hurricane.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She was being grilled on the stand, and he's an attorney, so he knows what he's doing, and so he was trying to displace her, and he couldn't, and he was just baffled. He's like, well, if, you know, I couldn't do that, you must have been on drugs.
Yeah. The best drugs are happening within us, and the experience of being able to regulate our breath and to allow the amazing chemicals that we have within our bodies accessible to us at all times. And so being able to tap into to a feeling of grace, because ultimately grace is what leads to having, again, that beautiful life. Mm-hmm. It is through the control of our feelings and being able to transform them into something greater than they are.
Mm-hmm. And you do that through yoga and meditation. That's all the yoga and meditation.
Yes. So Kate, do you remember when we had the fundraiser at the studio to put a cycling studio at the old place?
Yeah, I do. I gave you some money.
Yeah, thank you. So part of that's like, we originally started to build a cycling studio at the other location. Mm-hmm. But then as things were transitioning, and we have custody battles, and we have court cases with our landlord, and then we're not raising enough money to build that studio. What happened at that point, I remember I wrote a check to myself for $40,000. And I set it in a plant on the sink, and I meditated and set the intention on it. And I had no idea where that money was going to come from. I had no idea how we were going to get the stone peel. And then finally this thing went off in me. I'm like, oh, I was like, wait, I should reach out to Bill. And literally, I remember sitting there that night, scared, frightened, because we'd gotten to the end of our rope once again. And I called Bill up. Monica and I have him on speakerphone. Like, hey, Bill, would you want to be part of the studio? And we got to talk, and what I thought was going to be a really hard conversation turned out to be a really simple conversation. He's like, yeah, how much you need? Like, I'll write the check tomorrow. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Really? And so Bill gave us the fuel to pick the whole studio up and get it to where we are right now.
Yeah, he's a constant, beautiful figure there also, offering classes and telling his story over and over about how he got into yoga because he followed a woman. And then and then he ended up with
I followed a woman too.
Well, but he says that, you know, it opened up it like a flower inside of him, this beautiful practice and this way of being, and you can truly feel it. It's in him. It's his way of life, this yoga. And so I'm sure that adding on a yoga, being with you, I think would be just another extension of what's something that he just loved. So.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, you know, Bill's a mechanical engineer and I went to school for mechanical engineering and then back to school for small business management. And Monica has her master's in accounting. So we're all these analytical people that, you know, this side of, life, you know, everything was in a box or you could pull it apart, put it back together. And, you know, Bill, when he first did teacher training, like you said, he didn't want to teach. And then over time, like you said, something opened up and it all set in.
Yeah. Right.
There are, in yoga, there are many layers to a being. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of the way we begin understanding that, that idea that we're like an onion, right? And we are in the outermost, it's our bodies. And then we draw a little bit closer to the center. And then from there we become our feelings and we experience life through feelings. A little bit closer from feelings, there's a mind, and the mind can either pull us in or pull us out. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to harness the power of the mind and allowing that we draw from the senses to go a little bit closer towards the center, that's when we can begin to connect to consciousness or to the field or to the blueprint. Mm. That is where we can create. That is where we put all of our intentions, our energy we created within that field that then creates a magnetism out into the world. So going back into sending, you know, telling you the story, how we're here or the intentions, it was always coming back to withdrawing from the stimulus from our crazy stuff that was happening and back into the center, always drawing back from center.
Mm. Because always into the blueprint, into the center of you. Yeah.
Yeah. What you give your attention to in your life grows. Mm-hmm. What you pull your attention away from shrinks and fades into the background. And it's like on this journey, if we gave all of our problems our attention, then that's what would have flourished in our lives. But we chose to always come back to center and make the choice to be here and to give to people and foster that growth in that place and not on the distractions that kept popping up in our lives.
And yeah, you've often talked about that though in class. Often you repeat that message to watch where you put your attention and to come back to center. Yeah.
There are many quantum physics experiments that that support that idea, and that whenever molecules or neutrons are being looked at a very at a specific level, they show up only when the observer is looking at them. When they're not there. And so what, not only what we teach is from the metaphysical or from the experiential side, but it's being supported by science. Mm-hmm. And when we explain that in teacher training, we give everybody the opportunity to see what we're talking about. It truly begins to change and shift. Like, oh my goodness, I can truly use my emotions, transform them, put my attention into the next step that I need to put on with the way I'm being. And the transformation happens. I said, step my foot into the next step that I didn't know was there. But because I put my attention on that place, the stepstone will be there.
Well, you make me want to take the teacher training. Well, how about you tell people listening, like, what's happening for you now? We're just going to complete our time together, but talk a little bit about, like, I know we're not able to come into the studio, but you all offering things. So say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back. Do we put our attention right now on the fact that we don't have people come in the studio, that, you know, revenue streams have dropped, that, you know, the world's in a very interesting and scary place? Or do we give our attention on back to what we do and just find a different way to pivot, a different way to do it? And so at this point, I mean, Monica and I shut the studio down
March 16th,
2 days before our 4-year anniversary. But we chose, and we did it before everybody else, because we're like, people are more important. You know, I don't care about a revenue stream. I don't care about what's going to happen. I don't want somebody to come into my studio and take this virus and take it home to somebody who has a grandparent or somebody who has an autoimmune disease, and then they get sick because I'm trying to keep the doors open for a business reason.
Right.
And so we made a decision hoping other businesses would follow, and shut down a week to 10 days before everybody else did. But in that, we were able to pivot and transition very quickly. It's been a learning process, as you can tell. We were setting up today with you on Zoom, but to pivot everything to online classes and still build that connection and still build that community. And I think it's more important now than ever that, you know, as we log into these classes, we've had students that have come to class that we haven't seen in 3 years, that are in California, Italy, that are in Florida. And everybody logs in, and all of a sudden they start talking back and forth, and we start seeing everybody's faces. We had show and tell of animals on Monday, where everybody was showing their bearded dragon and their dog, and their kids, and all this stuff. And I think we're going to make that a regular thing on Mondays right now. But it still builds that connection. It's like, hey, do we focus on what's not here, or do we give our attention to what is here? And right now, it's a virtual platform. It's people mm-hmm. connecting. And from that place, it doesn't feel like much has changed.
Well, I would love for people to still discover you even in this time. So you have a website. That how can people come and be a part of the classes that you teach?
The easiest way would be to go to the website at ecville.com. And there's a banner there, online classes. All you got to do is click, pick the class that works for you, register. When you register, you'll receive an email within maybe 5 minutes. And this comes from FitGrid, which is one of our partners in MindBody. And it'll give you a link and a password to access class. Mm-hmm. And if for any reason you don't get it, we always recommend emailing us or calling us, and that way we can give you access to class. We're off.
Also, since we know that probably people are probably challenged financially right now, we have a free meditation that we are putting on the schedule, or has been on the schedule, every day at 11 o'clock. Just to offer space, and the point of it is to send healing intention and love to our community, because there's actually been studies back in the 80s with the Lebanon Peace Project in the 2000s in D.C. and in New York, that when skilled meditators get together, like 500 to 1,500 of them, the death rate dropped by 7% in Lebanon. In D.C., the crime rate dropped the same way. And so we offer this free meditation if you need to find a little space in your life, if you need to connect, but also send the intention to heal our community. So we definitely hope to see you there.
Yeah. And then for classes, we offer them on social media again for people that need it and they don't have the financial means. Our dropping classes online are only $4. And they do help support, keep this production side going. And then keep supporting our community. More people that show up, the more feeling of not being alone that we can create.
Yeah, I think the best way through this is together.
Yeah. I agree. And I'm glad you get to give us all a chance to experience being with you, even if it's virtual like this. And so just by way of completion, I just want to repeat a story that I would like listeners to know is after I started this podcast, I mean, I had to really think about what kind of title I wanted. It was hard to come up with something, but I love this idea that a more beautiful life, everyone kind of wants something that helps them feel better. And we all yearn for that. And when I'm with you, I feel that. I feel that beautiful life. It emanates from the inside. And I asked you one day, Kendall, like what makes you more beautiful? It's not just what you look like, it's how I feel when I'm with you. Do you remember that day?
Yes, I do.
Remember what you said?
I think, you know, looking at me and all the challenges that I've faced, and it's being authentic through them, burning through them, being present through them, mm-hmm. and having the courage to fall down every single time. And it's in those experiences that you get the wisdom to shine, because you start peeling back all the layers of yourself and you let yourself be seen because you've been through so many things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely wanted you to come on this podcast and explain who, have people know you and find your studio, find you online. I know we'll get through this and people then can come in and be with you as we do the classes together. And so is there anything more you want to say before we end? I do have my quintessential beautiful life question, but what is there anything more, Monica or Kendall, you want to say before we stop?
I'm thinking, you okay. know, in this time that's scary, if we give our attention to the fear, then we start acting from a place of fear. And I think our attention, whatever you can find in your life that brings you gratitude, that makes you feel alive. You know, there was a quote by Howard Thurman, and I love it because it's so very true. It says, don't ask what the world needs, meaning don't give your attention to what you think the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what this world really needs, especially right now, is people that have come alive.
Right. Thank you. Well, I really come alive in your studio and when I'm with you. And so I'd like to ask both of you just to complete our time by sharing with us what helps you have a more beautiful life.
My family, my two girls, and my husband. Mm.
That goes the same for me. We've been through so many challenges, which in that builds so much trust because we always choose each other. Even though right now that our family is scattered across two states, our 11-year-old's in Charlotte with her dad. Monica's there for 1 week with her, then back here for a week. And Ella's in Richmond, and she's there half the time and then back here half the time. And so no matter what happens in our life, what gives me comfort and what makes me thrive is that we, all of us, always choose each other.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming. And I'm going to complete by just, you know, namaste.
Namaste.
What do you always say? You said, may you be healthy, may you be happy, may you walk this world in peace.
And may you feel loved.
May you feel loved.